joining us today here on Elevate, broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. This National Park College podcast highlights a different Nighthawk with each episode. We'll talk about their journey, challenges, key moments of success, their moments of elevation, leveling up, and overcoming. I'm Timothy Webb, your host, and I'd like to welcome to the program Dr. George Maxey. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's good to be here.
All right. So, Doctor, you are a faculty member here at National Park College. What all do you teach?
Well, currently I teach geology and environmental science. We are hoping in the near future to add maybe historical geology and environmental geology to the curriculum.
How long have you been here at National Park College?
I've been here, this is my sixth year, and I've really enjoyed it. This is a wonderful place.
So what are some of the challenges to teaching geology and other geology style classes?
Well, I think the first thing is to getting the students to recognize that it's not just about rocks. And when you say geology, that's pretty much the first thing. You know, oh, you teach about rocks. Well, we do. But our Earth, this geoid we live on, is a big rock. And therefore, it's to understand it, it's like trying to decipher a giant puzzle. And every rock is a piece of that puzzle. We try to understand the history of the Earth, the present-day concepts going on Earth. And then, in a way, we can actually sort of look into the future by studying geology.
How do you mean?
Well, the Earth has gone through processes. And there are processes operating now that have operated in the past. They induce certain changes that take place on the planet. Those changes have occurred in the past, and they will occur in the future again. So we currently take advantage of the minerals that are on this planet. Coal for creating heat. Oil, minerals like gold or copper or lead or silver, all of those things are very, very important. But along with producing, mining, recovering those minerals, there is a cost, a consequence.
Yes, there definitely is. You know, a few years ago, I actually worked as a miner. We would dig down and get a crystallized salt. Maybe you can recall what that's called.
Okay, gypsum?
Yeah, gypsum, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was quite interesting to know that gypsum, now correct me if I'm wrong, was deposited so far down from the ancient oceans that used to be in this area millions of years ago.
Exactly. The gypsums, which is a calcium sulfate, are deposited. They're some of the minerals that are dissolved in water. And therefore, when waters evaporate and shallow, there's hyper concentrations of calcium sulfate, and they're laid down as layers of what we today call gypsum.
Mm-hmm. And it was very soft crystal.
It has a hardness less than the hardness of your fingernail. You
wow.
can scratch it
yeah.
with your fingernail.
Any idea what we make with that?
Well, in this office, there's the sheetrock that's
right.
on the walls. It's used in a number of products. They actually put it in some medicines.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And it's good. A little bit of it is okay for your tummy, not a lot. And then it's also put in some products to help stop the products from sticking together or clumping. So you'll find it sometimes in salt. More often in salt, you'll find quartz crystals.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So is there any common myths about being a geology teacher that you'd like to share with us today or clear up?
Yeah, we're not all crazy. although a lot of us tend to like rocks better than people. The rocks don't lie to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of fun introducing students to rocks. I've had many a student come back to me after they finished the course And they'd say, "You've ruined me for life." And I'd go, "How so?" And they say, "Now when I go out, I got to look at the rocks." So they become intrigued by them.
Yeah. So, Doctor, how did you get here to National Park College, and what were some of the obstacles you had to overcome?
Well, I'm retired. I taught at the University of North Texas for 28 years. Mm. And I retired and moved to Arkansas and moved into Hot Springs Village. And I was on the Lakes Committee up there. And I noticed that they hadn't really done much research in the village about the lakes or the geology under the lakes. And I proposed that we do some research. And one of the things I said is it'd really be nice to have some people to help us collect data. And I suggested we come down here to Hot Springs National Park and see if any students would be willing to work with us. When I got here, I found out that the person who was the geologist here had left. So they said, "We don't have a geology professor. Would you like to teach a class?"
Wow.
And again, serendipitously, that's how I got here. Said yes, and I've been teaching geology and earth science every semester now for, this is my sixth year.
Wow, that is amazing.
Wasn't looking for a job when I came here.
But you found one.
And I've loved it. It's been wonderful.
What's some of the most rewarding things about your position?
Oh, for me, it's I've always loved working with the students. Whenever you have one of those aha moments where they get it, they understand something, and it's just a light goes on in their eyes, and that to me is one of the greatest rewards of being a teacher. And I have to admit, I taught at a large university, and I used to teach really large classes, 150. I've even taught classes with, I think, 500 students. That's not really enjoyable. You don't get to interact with your students. You come in and you basically do a performance. But here at National Park, I've had smaller classes, been able to work with groups of students, engage them in conversation about the subject of geology, and that is incredibly rewarding.
As the teacher, you're normally giving the lesson, but is there any lessons you'd like to share with our audience you've learned as being a geology teacher all these years?
Well, one thing is you never know it all. In all these years of teaching, I'm always surprised. It seems like every year I learn something that I never knew or understood before. And I learn from my students. They have a delightful way of asking questions. Some of them will think that it's a silly question or a stupid question, and they're not. They're questions that people are bringing up to give them greater understanding. And it's amazing how sometimes the simplest question can reveal information about geology, which I've studied for over 30 years, and I'm always learning something new.
Mm-hmm. What's the old saying?
You learn by teaching?
You learn by teaching, basically what it says. You won't know something real well until you teach it.
Precisely.
Right. What are some of the achievements that you're proud of, Doctor?
I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been the president of the student chapter of the American Association of Petroleum Geologists. I've been involved with the Dallas Paleontological Society. And we wrote a very nice book on paleontology and how to go about being involved in it, published that a number of years back. We've written physical geology lab manuals, which I donated one here to National Park. I actually wrote the lab manual for National Park to take advantage of the geology that's in this area. Mm-hmm. Most of the professionally published manuals are very generic, and I wanted something that the students could walk outside and actually see and talk about. And I involved the students in the writing of that and how to ask questions and what things they were interested in finding out. And that was wonderful to get to do that project. A while back, we did the fulgurite research And that has been a blessing in an odd way. It brought me to this scholarship from the American Federation of Mineralogical Societies. And I've been involved in teaching teachers how to teach large classes.
Wow.
If you can grasp that. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge when you have a class with over 100 students.
I can imagine.
So that was one of the things I was involved with at the University of North Texas. And I also ran a rock, mineral, and fossil and meteorite identification laboratory. Mm-hmm. At the University of North Texas, and we identified specimens from all over the world, as well as those that came in from outer space. And we got to identify a few actual meteorites. And I'm actually hoping within the next year of doing a rock and mineral identification day here at the college. Actually talking now with Hot Springs Geology Club and seeing if we can't organize a project like that.
For local content like this and much more, subscribe to the Sentinel Record by visiting hotsr.com and clicking subscribe.
So, Dr. Maxey, where did you grow up? Where was your childhood home?
I was born in Ohio.
Oh.
Stayed there. I guess I went to high school, and then when I graduated, I was about 17, and I left. I had enough of the cold weather.
Yeah.
And headed south, and ended up in Florida, and then from there I went to work in back up north in Iowa, and then back down south in Kansas, and then all the way over out to Colorado. All that time I was actually taking college classes, working towards my doctorate.
Yeah, excellent. Was there someone in your life that was highly influential, and how did they impact your life?
Wow. I know this is going to sound strange, but some of the most influential people were actually a negative influence. And I looked at that and I said, I don't want that negative influence in my life. Mm-hmm. And I actually turned away from those people. And that's what kind of drove me into education. I know that's odd. That's a very different... I'm thankful for them now.
Yeah.
But did they specifically point me in a direction? No. They basically encouraged me in their way not to go in their direction.
Right. And that does happen.
Yes.
You know, definitely.
And I'm happy in the direction I went. I've enjoyed what I've done for over the years, and it's been a good life.
Right, and we're sure glad to have you here at National Park.
I've only taught at three places, University of North Texas, Brookhaven College, and here. Mm-hmm. And this place, what a way to top off a career.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful.
Awesome.
Great people here.
Absolutely, Doctor. I couldn't agree more. I think that's what makes National Park so special, is we really have a bunch of great people here. I experienced it as a student and now as a staff member, and they're really, really welcoming, and it's a great place to be. So, any favorite childhood memory you'd like to share? Maybe perhaps how you got into geology?
Yeah, when I was a kid back in Ohio, I lived outdoors. Mm-hmm. I was always tent camping or hiking or fishing or hunting, and I used to find fossils all the time. To me, they were just odd rocks, and I would bring them back home, and I would show them to people, and nobody seemed to be able to tell me what those odd, funny-looking rocks were, which today were fossils. And I knew they looked like either shells or different things, but they were made out of rock. And I was always fascinated by that. And when I did finally have the opportunity to go to college, I wanted to take some geology classes. And I did at Southern Methodist University. And I had some great teachers at SMU. Very few of them are still teaching today. They're retired. But wow, what a great bunch of people.
Wow.
So...
And that's what college is about, isn't it? Is getting a taste of something and seeing what you end up liking.
Absolutely. And I tell my students that this is the time for you to explore when you're, especially at a 2-year school. And of course, we're now doing 4-year classes, but this is the best time, you know, take that class you're curious about. Mm-hmm. And you may find something that's wonderful. I've been in geology for all these years, and I've never considered it work. It's just something I enjoy.
That's wonderful. That's everybody's dream right there.
Yes, it is.
If you could give your younger self any piece of advice, what would it be?
It would have been get into geology sooner.
Wow. You really eat it up, don't you? You really love it.
I did, and I do. It's just fantastic.
So this question, we might have kind of already touched it, really. Other than National Park College, and I'm going to say other than geology, do you have any hobbies?
Yes. I teach Tai Chi.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've been a student of Tai Chi for about 30 years, and I teach a number of forms, 24-form, 104-form short staff, primordial Qigong. I'm a certified instructor in Tai Chi for arthritis, Tai Chi for diabetes, Tai Chi for osteoporosis. And then I have some forms that I do that I've learned along the way. And while I may not be certified in those, I can teach them and give people an understanding of the art.
Wow, that's extremely interesting. What is it about Tai Chi that drew you to it?
I used to do the hard style martial arts, and about the time I turned 50, I thought, this is insane. I have, you know, been thrown on the floor and punched and kicked, and I was looking around. I loved the martial arts, but I wanted something different, and I stumbled onto Tai Chi. I liked the movement. It relaxes you. It's a wonderful form for just allowing you to slow down, to breathe, to forget the problems of the day, and get involved in the art of the movement. Mm-hmm. And I teach between 3 and 6 classes every semester, and it depends on what people are interested in. Mm-hmm. It improves your muscle strength. It improves your sense of balance.
Yeah.
It helps with your sense of well-being, mm-hmm. and I've enjoyed it immensely over the years. And now I'm teaching it now. I used to just like to go do the classes. Still like to go do that, but I do enjoy teaching the form.
Do you teach a Tai Chi class here in National Park, Doctor?
We offered it, but as far as I know, nobody signed up for it.
For Well Yes or for the...
I taught it for Well Yes twice, and then they asked me about doing it through... Continuing education. So I signed up to do it through continuing education this year, but unfortunately, nobody has jumped on it.
If you could talk to anyone in history, who would it be and why?
Oh, wow.
Could be multiple answers to this, I'm sure.
There he is. I think one of the guys I would really like to talk to would be L.L. Sloss. He was a fascinating geologist. He's the one who recognized the idea that sea level goes up and down, up and down. In fact, he was giving a lecture a number of years ago, and somebody asked him, what is the most fascinating, you might call the most important thing you ever learned about geology? And he sat there very quietly for a while, and he kind of looked around the room, and he stared, and he scratched his chin, and he said, sea level goes up, sea level goes down, sea level goes up, sea level goes down. Uh-huh. And he kept saying that.
Yeah.
And it's true, because that's exactly what happens. We hear so much today about global warming. It is nothing new. It's part of what this planet does. And our biggest mistake is thinking we can change it. What we really ought to be doing is learn how to adapt to it.
As a scientist in the field of geology, Dr. Maxey, do you see evidence that human activity is speeding up the climate change process?
Oh, they're impacting it. There's no doubt about that. But if you go back and look at history, there was a period of time when termites impacted climate conditions, mm-hmm. or vice versa. You can go back and you can look at all of the major extinctions, and there's been five, and all of them have to do with environmental climate changes, except for one.
Yeah.
So it is important that we understand that the humans play a part in it. What we really need to understand is even if the humans were gone, it would still happen. And therefore, that's why I said we need, rather than try to stop it, we need to learn how to adjust to it and live with it and adapt. Mm. And in so doing, we might actually slow down the process that humans are contributing to sea level change or climate change or whatever you wish to call it.
Right. So it's directly related to the sea level.
In a big way. If you look at various spheres on Earth, you've got your atmosphere, you have your biosphere, you have your cryosphere, you have your hydrosphere. You've got all of these different parts of the Earth, and if one changes, it influences all the others.
Mm-hmm.
So if we mess with the atmosphere by adding greenhouse gases, that changes the way the atmosphere collects or rejects heat energy from the sun, and that either pushes us towards an ice age or away from it.
Mm-hmm.
If the ice age occurs, sea levels drop.
Mm-hmm.
When it warms, sea level rise. If sea levels change, then that changes the hydrosphere, the water, and that changes the way minerals are precipitated. It influences the organisms in the sea, and it goes on and on. You can directly see a reaction in every other sphere when you change one sphere for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Maxey, what are your future plans?
Well, I'm officially I'm retired. I do want to keep teaching as long as I feel like I can do a good job for my students. I'm involved in some projects. We're looking at a possible discovery of a very, very large spring system right here in the Hot Springs area. I'm not going to say any more than that right now because we haven't studied it and written anything on it, but we're real excited about that.
This is a new spring system that's not known?
Heretofore undocumented.
Mm.
And it rivals the water production of Hot Springs National Park.
Wow.
So we're real excited about it. We're hoping to learn more about it, especially in the winter when the vegetation is died back. It'll give us a better opportunity to get in and look at what's going on.
Right. Any advice for our listeners you'd like to leave them with? Any mottos or quotes?
Well, the rocks don't lie.
Yeah.
So there's a wonderful story written in the rocks. And one of the guys, one of my other heroes, he one time said that the rock layers in the Grand Canyons are like rock leaves pages in a Bible.
Hmm.
And they tell a wonderful story. And that's been what I've done is I've looked at the rocks, studied the rocks, and they give us a wonderful story of our planet.
That's great. Dr. Maxey, thank you so much for joining me here today on Elevate. We've really appreciated sitting down with you.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been great.
Take care, sir.
And thanks to all of you for listening to Elevate today from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. New episodes are released each Thursday. Special thanks to National Park College and the Sentinel Record for making this podcast possible. Until next time, this is Timothy Webb reminding you that every day is a chance to elevate.